Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
To the 47th installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I am your host. Tonight, we have Maya Glick, who is the creator of the new film called Rain, and it's a fan film about Storm, Storm from X-Men, our wonderful Aurora Monroe. So if you're an X-Men fan, Storm fan, this is definitely the show for you. Tweet this out to your followers. We are airing live right now. Make sure on Twitter that you're using the hashtag BGNPodcast. And you can always call us. The phone lines are open at 347-237-4616. If you've got questions, you've got comments, should be a really interesting show. Tonight, it's just me and our guest, Maya. My co-host, Brittany, at the last minute couldn't come. So Brittany is sick, and thinking about you, Brittany. Hope you get better soon. But before we get to our guests, I do want to make a couple of announcements. So as always, I never miss a beat on this. You can go to Zazzle.com/blurredgasm. It's our store. We've got BGN swag there. So you can get T-shirts, mugs. There's mouse pads. There's a whole bunch of really great merchandise there with our logo on it. We've got two logos now, our original logo and a new logo created by Kayona Ebony Brown from Of Mice and Men, of Music and Men, not Of Mice and Men. That's the Steinbeck novel. Of Music and Men, Kayona Ebony Brown, she has that. So check that out, please, and rock that swag at your local con, at a hackathon, any conference, seminar event, and, you know, put it out there about the Black Girl Nerds community. Also, on a sadder note, I do want to just extend my thoughts, prayers, and condolences out to the family of Karen Washington. Karen Washington was actually a guest back in September on our show. We did a podcast about makeup, and we had Karen on there. We had Brittany Marshall, who's the creator and founder of My Brown Box, and we also had the team from I Love Mimi, Gil and Liz. And Karen is the founder and creator of For Brown Girls. And it was brought to my attention, and many of you at this point know by now, she had passed away recently from suicide. And it's very sad and tragic and shocking to me to even hear that she was in that space where she felt the need to end her life so tragically at such a young age. So I just want to say, you know, thoughts and prayers are with her, and she was so delightful on the show. I was very inspired by someone so young who created this really great movement with For Brown Girls and fighting colorism in the makeup and beauty industry. It's a really great, profound message that she was spreading in a society that's so whitewashed, especially when it comes to Black women. We're still whitewashed in images of magazines and films and TV. And to see what she was doing with For Brown Girls was so inspiring, and that's why I had her on the show. So I just want to extend condolences, thoughts, and prayers to Karen, to her family, to her friends, and you will be missed. So I do want to get started. We're going to have a really, really great show. Since we don't have any co-hosts to pass the virtual mic to, I will introduce myself. My name is Jamie. I am the founder and creator of Black Girl Nerds. You can always find me on Twitter under the Black Girl Nerds account that I spend a great deal of time on. I do have a personal account on Twitter at Jamie Broadnax. And definitely bookmark blackgirlnerds.com. We work to update content every day, fresh, daily, so that way, you know, you guys can really stay tuned to the community and really just have a refreshing and new perspective on what nerdiness is all about. So thank you guys for listening in. So I am going to introduce our wonderful, wonderful guest. Maya Glick is previously known as a rock musician and performer. She's a guitarist, songwriter, and vocalist who took inspiration from the likes of Bad Brains, Motorhead, David Bowie, and Prince. Dissatisfied with the lack of women of color in Hollywood's superhero pantheon, Maya decided to take matters into her own hands. She created a new film called Rain, and when the word got out about this film that was in the works featuring the street punk Storm, it sent shockwaves of interest and excitement through the world of social media. Rain is currently in production. Please give a warm welcome to our guest, Maya Glick.
Oh, applause and everything. Nice. Hello.
Hi Maya.
Thank you. Hello. That was great. Thanks for having me, and hello to everyone. I'm very excited to be here. I was digging that song. What's that opening song that was playing? I got lost in that for a little while.
that was Carolyn Malachi's Finally. She was a guest on our show, and she's a great, amazing woman, Grammy-nominated artist, who's a very prominent member of the Blurred community, and she was so nice to donate that song to our podcast. So, yeah.
Awesome. That was very cool.
Well, yeah, let's get started on this discussion about Storm. This is really exciting.
Yeah, it is.
So, first of all, why don't you just kind of give us a brief summary of what this film, Rain, is all about?
Well, okay, what it's about. I don't really talk too much about the story itself directly just because it is a short. And one of the things, and that's going to annoy some people, for the next 45 minutes. But one of the things that, as a moviegoer, that I dig is when I go see a movie and I'm able to discover it throughout the whole thing. And you don't really have that a lot, because pretty much you see an extended trailer, and by the time the fourth trailer is out, you know the whole film. And, you know, I mean, I can give you, you know, the idea of the story, but I don't talk too much about, not that it's all top secret or anything, but I just like, when I'm watching a film or anything like that, I like for everything to be a little bit of a surprise. And there are definitely a couple surprises in this. It's a short film, but there will be some surprises, which will be awesome to a lot of people, and it's going to piss a lot of people off. And I know that just because I know that going into it. I mean, you know, Storm with a Mohawk pisses people off. So, I mean, that's already there. And, I mean, any kind of reimagining of something like a comic book character is going to piss some people off. And that's whatever. I piss some people off. So I'm cool with that. I'm okay with that. I'm prepared for that. But, so yeah, the story itself, I mean, it's a journey. I guess any story is kind of a journey. That's not much. It's not a familiar story arc. It is a story that I wrote. So it's not going to be, you know, like a series of books just brought to life. It obviously is, it'll feel familiar. I think it's a situation that could be a Marvel story. It just isn't. I keep trying to figure out how to describe it without describing it, but I'm really excited about it as a fan. I think it's so what I do as a writer or as an artist, what I did with music, what I do with when I try to fill in what's missing for me. And I think for me and for a lot of people, Storm is one of those characters who, as much power as they give her in theory, she's a bit of a backup singer. You know, she's a token. And so I just wanted to kind of pull her out front and stick her into a little bit of not my own world. It's not like she's in New York City in the 90s or whatever. It's just, it's a situation that I created. It's something that I imagined. And, I think people will be satisfied with it. Like you're going to be able to see her fighting more. I mean, people, especially people who know her primarily from films will be, should be a lot more satisfied with this than what we got. And I don't want to specifically bash any actresses, but as a lot of us have been able to agree, the Hollywood portrayal of Storm was a little bit lacking, just a little bit, just maybe just a tiny little bit. And I mean, you know, I can't use profanity on the show, right? Anyway, so, I think it was at that point, like when the first X-Men movie was coming out, I remember being so excited knowing that Storm was going to be part of the story. I assumed at first that she wouldn't, but knowing that she was going to be part of the story and that she was going to be portrayed at all on screen, I was so excited. I was like a Barack Obama is being inaugurated excited about that moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was what it was. And, you know, and I know that there are people who are happy with that and who think Halle Berry was great and the story was great. And it was a great story. I thought it was beautiful what they did with every other character in that movie, in the first movie. And, you know, But my heart broke. Like, there was a specific scene in the first X-Men film where the senator dude that Magneto got to turns into water in front of Storm, and she freaks out and runs out of the room to go get a white boy to help her. And that scene right there, that scene turned my stomach. So, and you can find it. You can go to YouTube and look up Storm Scared. You know, and it's there. I'm like, why is she scared of water? And she can blow people up with lightning. This woman has killed people by taking air out of their lungs. That is dark. That's dark. You know what I mean? Yeah. So how did a dude melt into water and she ran frightened out of the room? Anyway, so that's what Hollywood gave me. for Storm. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a matter, you know, a lot of people say like, oh, well, they can't give everybody so much screen time because it's an ensemble cast. I mean, you know, Cyclops, or not Cyclops, but, you know, a lot of people didn't have a lot of screen time, but you still knew that they were badasses. You got enough of a sense of their character to know what they were capable of, or that they were, or even that they had darkness. You know, you saw a
right.
little bit of everybody's darkness. You saw how dark Wolverine was. You saw how dark even Rogue is.
Mm-hmm.
Storm, her name is Storm. That's, when there is an actual storm, people don't go to school. You're supposed to stay in your house. That is the scariest thing that can happen in the sky, you know? So
right.
why is she the sweet little, you know? I would.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean,
so my.
No, what I was going to say is, you know, essentially what you're doing is a fan film. And I think that mm. it's important to do a fan film because going back to the conversation about, you know, pissing off fans, I think, if anything, probably the people that are going to be mad are the ones that have been sort of kind of under the influence of Hollywood by what they think Storm looks like, which is the Halle Berry representation of Storm. And mm-hmm. the fact that we're seeing a punk Storm and there's going to be more fighting. There should be more fighting because punk Storm
yes.
didn't have any powers. So,
right.
like, I just don't understand why – because I totally get that. I think that there's probably going to be a division between the fans that know Storm, that know her origin, that are really avid readers and fans of the X-Men books who will get
mm-hmm.
this movie. And then they're the ones that are just kind of into the Hollywood or Hollywood, as you refer to
mm-hmm.
it, version of Storm. And of course, yeah, they probably will be pissed because they're like, well, Storm's not supposed to have a mohawk. And wait a minute, she's supposed to have powers. And like, you know, come on.
Right. But I
book,
think that even, yeah, but even within hardcore X-Men fan community, there is a division. And when I was, promoting the film and looking for different forums and stuff like that to let people know that, you know, when I was doing the Kickstarter, I found a lot of really interesting on some, you know, comic site fan forums. There's in a couple places, not just in one place, but there's a couple places where you can find the topic, long hair Storm or mohawk Storm, like, you know, as if they're two different characters, which to me they are, and that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
We can talk about that later. But just that's how they're described, like, you know, long hair Storm or mohawk Storm. And then people will get into heated debates about which one they prefer and why. And what a lot of people said about Storm with a mohawk, a lot of guys especially, said that that she was ugly that way, a chick shouldn't have a mohawk. One
mm-hmm.
guy said, one thing that a guy said specifically, which I will not forget, and I believe that he was a Caucasian gentleman, he said, why would an African goddess wear leather and have a mohawk? That doesn't even make sense, he said.
Wow.
At the end of his argument about why the Storm that looks more like a Barbie doll was preferable. And so I'm thinking, why would an African goddess wear high-heeled boots and have a cape? How does that make sense? You know, like, we're talking about what makes sense, you know. But a lot of people, a lot of men, have a problem with a chick with a mohawk. Ask me. I've had one three different times in my life. It's not, I mean, it's a mohawk. It upsets people, apparently. So a character like Storm, one of the divisions and one of the things that will happen, I've even seen it come up on Twitter recently, when the picture that went around of Lupita with the mohawk, that picture from the Oscars, when I forget who it was that photoshopped a mohawk onto her and it went viral with people saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lupita is the next Storm.
Right.
Bunch of people loved it, but a bunch of people hated it.
Yep.
Fans of Storm, fans of the X-Men, people of color, a lot of guys. They're like, why would you do that to her? She's so beautiful. Why would you, you know, and just, I mean, the same way that some people don't think that Lupita is beautiful because she has short hair. People call her Wesley Snipes. We've all heard that, too.
Wow.
But the mohawk thing is upsetting for people. And so even within the fans, like you were saying, that, you know, people who are true fans of the storyline and of the books, there's a lot of people who are true, deep fans who read the books their whole lives who still don't like that version of Storm, including the man that drew her that way for the first time.
Wow.
So I don't know if you know that story, but it recently, actually on April Fool's Day, it came out, which I had read about this before, but Paul Smith, who originally drew her that way, and people keep telling me this as some way to be like, you know, that was a joke, right? It was not meant to stay. It was meant as some joke. He was on his way out as the illustrator, and I guess, I don't know if he was being snide, but something had just happened in his family where he had a beard for a long time. He shaved it off and it upset his daughter or something like that. And so he wrote that into the story using Storm. And he didn't ever intend for it to stay. He called it giving her a Mr. T look. And it wasn't meant to stay. And so a lot of people who know the story deeply enough that they know that story will say, you know, this was a joke. It wasn't meant to be. That's not how Storm is supposed to look, is what comes up a lot. That's the thing that I've heard and read a lot from within the deeply nerdy Marvel fan community. But again, I don't care. So, you know, I like from within the geek community or from without it, that's the Storm that for me was my idol growing up and still is. And so, you know, like long hair Storm or whatever they want to call her, when I was first trying to check out the X-Men, I didn't for a long time because that version of Storm was never visually interesting to me. She just is kind of a Barbie doll with different, I call it like her hair there. It's Barbie hair. It's that big 80s every superhero in the world hair, you know.
Yeah.
And that's great, but I would have never even turned my attention to that world if I didn't see her looking like a rock star warrior badass. I mean, seeing her like that changed my life when I was 14 or whatever year that was, you know. And so that version of that X-Man from that era in that outfit is my personal patron saint. And so whatever anybody else's take on her is, I'm not very concerned, but I know that's why there will be hate for this film from all different directions, but there also, more importantly, has been so much interest and excitement and support, and you know, which is why we're here having this conversation, because people are bugging out just that it's happening at all, and I think that says something.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the folks from the geek community are more supportive of this version of Storm than people that are opposed to it, because I got a little bit of vitriol myself with the change.org petition to have Lupita cast as the next Storm, and people were furious. Like, I saw the message boards, and Hollywood Reporter had did an article, and Madame Noir did an article, and people were saying some really nasty stuff about the petition as well as me.
Right.
And a lot of their argument was, why? What's wrong with Halle Berry? Halle Berry is perfect. And I'm just like,
right.
if you knew anything about Storm, if you knew anything about the comics, even if you watched the 90s version of the animated version of X-Men, you would know why Halle is wrong for Storm. But anyway, I think personally a lot of geeks and fans of the comic would definitely be supportive of a punk Storm. So I'm glad you're doing this. I do want to move really quick to some questions. We've got a couple of people on Twitter that want to ask you some questions. So we'll start with India.
Okay.
At India.
Hi.
At India's Movies. She says, Maya, what is it or was it or what was it like securing funding for filming in Wardrobe of Storm?
Oh, my God. Good question, actually, and see, that was, I forgot to write that down in my notes, which is the most important thing. Funding. So Kickstarter, the whole Kickstarter experience was, in a lot of ways, it was thrilling. It was very exciting for me to know how many people were that interested to back something without, I really didn't have any evidence of it other than some homemade things that I did and you know, just kind of some cool-looking pictures and an idea, and just with that, enough people got behind it to get the whole thing off the ground, and that's amazing. The work that it took on my end, I've never done anything like a Kickstarter campaign before. Well, that's not entirely true. I did a little bit of fundraising for myself. I got myself to Hawaii last year to do a Spartan race by selling cookies, and so that kind of gave me the idea that maybe I could fund the film. But the work that I had to put into it for a month and a half, it's basically like having to go around to everybody you know and then everybody you don't know and just spend 90 days going, hey, can I have $20? Can I get $20? Hey, can I have $5? Hey, what you got? Can I have $10? What about $10? You got $10? You know, and so that gets old. Like that wears on you. And it was right down to the wire that we ended up making the goal, which was great and it was very exciting. And I cried about it. And because I went into it with not very much experience, there were some things that I didn't take into account, like the expense of Kickstarter itself. You know, there were the fees from Amazon and the fees from Kickstarter. There was a good amount of the pledges that didn't go through. So I ended up with, of course, less money than what, you know, what the big number on the board says. And then another thing that I'm inexperienced with is trying to create a film from the ground up. So in the beginning, I'd gone around and I talked to some different people that make films and got an idea of how much money I would need to do something like what my script is. And so I got a basic idea, and $10,000 is about a quarter of bare bones minimum. So What part of the holdup is that, I mean, I ended up finding a great crew, and what I knew that I would want to do, because my script, I have been told by several different people, is pretty ambitious for a small film. And so what I was hoping to do and what I did is that I wanted to just find the right people who would be excited enough about it with me that they'd be into doing it pretty much just to do it. And because I knew that the story that I wrote, I know that it's going to be really, really effing cool. I know that it's going to be beautiful. I know that it's exactly what I want to see. It's going to absolutely rock. And then I thought, you know, somebody that makes films would have a really fun time making this. So maybe there's somebody else who's an X-Men fan or that just wants a really awesome thing on their reel. And so I ended up, I went through a couple different people and I ended up talking to a few people that were like, yeah, this is awesome, but there's absolutely no way we can do it for that little money. So now the people that I'm working with are basically way out of my league. They're pros to the point that I can't believe I'm working with them. But what that means is that they've got a lot of other projects, and they're busy. And so we've done work towards getting this done, but we're still kind of trying to figure out how to make it happen without chopping it all to hell with the budget that we have. So I have been considering doing a stretch goal campaign just to keep from having to cut the film down or cut too much out of it. Or there's certain things that I want to happen, and which, again, I don't want to say too much. But, I mean, it already looks – we did some test filming, and I just the other day my director, Zane Rutledge, by the way, is the director, Zane Rutledge and Jeff – Stolhan. There's two directors. A little short film, two directors, co-producer, producer. We got a production assistant. Like, there's a whole crew. This thing is being treated like a film by these awesome, awesome people that I have no business even knowing. And so Zane just the other night sent me this, what to him is just a throwaway clip of, you know, this is what I threw together to show you what the ending scene is going to look like. And Jamie, I wish I could show it to you. I'm so excited about it. Like, I got chills. I wept over the test shot. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. Like, it blew my mind. And it was just, you know, him going, yeah, this needs to change. That needs to get cut out. We need a different green screen, you know, whatever. But, so yeah, funding. I think that was the question. It's something that I'm still kind of working on. And so stay tuned for me to be bugging people maybe a little bit more, maybe. I'm on standby waiting to hear, you know, we're kind of doing some begging, borrowing, and stealing of resources. Alvaro Rodriguez, who is one of the writers of Machete, actually is a co-producer, and so he has connections to the new show. There's a new show on El Rey called Dusk Till Dawn, and he wrote one of the episodes of that. And so he's trying to hook us up with some resources through Troublemaker Studios, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Like, there are some hands involved in this thing that I just have chills. I want to hurry up and see what this thing is going to look like, you know. But I don't want to rush it, but I'm just excited about it. And so, yeah, funding is still an issue. But it's something that going into it again, for anyone else who's thinking about doing a Kickstarter thing, you know, I'd say plan. I didn't do a lot of planning for it. I should have promoted it for longer. I should have had more to show, but I really couldn't produce anything like a trailer, which I was told would have gotten us a lot more pledges. And then I was also told that a trailer also would have gotten us shut down because I asked Zane if we could have a little clip in case I did want to do a second thing. I know that people are going to want to see something. And a trailer is what got the Punisher fan film shut down. So it's just not a smart move to advertise that you are doing. So anyway, I think that the way that this story is being told, it doesn't step on too many toes. I think the Punisher thing was directly out of the books, and I don't know. Like there were sets of reasons that one got a cease and desist, and I'm trying to stay far away from all of those reasons. Hello, did I lose my phone?
Yep. Yeah, okay. So one of the things, and you touched on some of this in your last question, but I have another question from Twitter. This is from Cynthia at Symfinite. She asks, how did you go about finding a team that you felt can understand and expand your vision for this film?
That is a good question, and that's something that I, as an artist and as a complete control freak, is really scary for me, is still, I was going to say it was, but it's scary just in general to create something and then have to kind of hand it over to someone else to finish it for you is a new and terrifying experience for me. And so in the beginning, Zane, as the director, he put together the rest of the crew, but it was very important to him as well that he kept saying, before we agree that we're going to do this, I need to know that we share a vision. I need you to know that we share a vision before we go into this, because this is going to get really personal and it's going to get really scary. And I need you to be able to trust me. And I understood that, because this film, this story, this whole project is my baby. It's a creation. And it's something that if and when we get it right, is going to be amazing. And so handing that off to someone else is terrifying, even though I did get a sense, you know, there were other people that I talked to early on, like I think in the beginning, in the very, very beginning, when I knew that I wanted to make this into a full-fledged film, I'm new enough in Austin that I didn't really know who the film community was. If I was still in New York, I would have been able to find that network of people more easily, just because everybody that I know there is some kind of creator. But here, I didn't know, and I've never done a film before, so why would I know who the filmmakers were? And then I reached out to some people who I know who are kind of involved in film, and, you know, when I first was checking it all out, just to be like, hey, who should I talk to, or hey, what do you think about this? And so at first I was just kind of Googling around and looking at, you know, people that made music videos to see who had something cool looking. Because in the beginning, I felt like, okay, in the very beginning, I thought that I would, you know, direct and produce and do everything with it, and that I just needed to find photographers and editors, basically, because I didn't know what I was talking about. And so that's how I thought it was going to work. So I was just kind of looking around and trying to find cool-looking music videos or cool-looking short films. I wanted to find something that aesthetically looked like they might get it, and then I thought that I'll just take care of everything else. And then the more the project grew and the more I understood, I need to not try to do this whole thing if I want it to come out right. Mm-hmm. And so that was a turning point for me, when I knew I needed a whole crew, or at least a director. And again, Zane was, you know, is on it enough and experienced enough that he has a production company. It's I think the banner that we are producing this film under is Zane Films. Matt Joyce is our producer, and again, Jeff Stolhan is the co-director, and they all have worked together before. And one of the things that I found when I was just looking around at different films, I thought I was going to find it through a music video, and there was this random short film that I found, and I just blanked. It's a trailer, you'll know, I'm not a gamer either. I'm going to lose a lot of nerd cred if I say too much about myself on this show. But it's there's an Alice in Wonderland, Return to Madness is a video game, I believe. And so there was a live trailer that was done for this video game, and it's this really dark, spooky, sexy, dreamy, fairy tale, funky little thing where it's like Alice in Wonderland, but she's shooting up and her eyes are crazy green, and it's really, it's just crazy, and it's like nightmarish but still Alice in Wonderland-y and still gamery, and it had every element of what I was looking for. And so I found that, figured out that it was an Austin film crew that put it together, followed the rabbit trail backwards, and found Zane Rutledge's name and just kind of stalked him until he returned my phone calls. And so, yeah, that's how I came up with that crew. But for me as an artist, like, you know, I was a musician in New York, and I fronted the bands. Like, I needed to have control. Like, okay, I wrote this song. I need for you to play this part this way, and this is what we're going to look like on stage, you know. So this isn't like that. I mean, we definitely – they listen to me. They get what I want to do, and they're taking what I want to do, and they're making it even more awesome. And so once I figured out that was going to happen, that helps me to kind of relax and not panic too much. Where the panic is coming back in, again, goes back to budget and, you know, like – you know, there's things that they're going to want to cut out, and I'm going to freak out and throw a tantrum and try to keep that man happening. But you know, I mean, I guess that's how filmmaking works. Like, you write a script and you hand it to somebody, and then they alter it slightly, chop it up, rearrange some things, and hand it back to you, and you hope it still looks like what you wanted to create. And in this case, it doesn't just look like what I wanted to create. It looks better. And so that's a really cool feeling. They are different from me. They are, you know, I think the fact that there's the cultural difference, they're white men. And so I think our interest in the film is different. And so where I'm trying to make sure that as the, not just the star of the film, but as the creator, that my voice remains, because I think that's important for us as people that are creating things. It's like, you know, you can have whoever presenting the piece, but I feel like you can always tell, Colombiana, when something is just a pretty face kind of out there, but it's still either created for men or it's not necessarily very empowering. And I want for this to come across very much as Maya's voice, as Maya's creation, and it will. Again, that goes back to the trust that I have with these guys. But there's, like, little things, like little bits of humor that, are, you know, like there's a joke that it gets made about her hair that they don't get. And so I think they want to cut that line, and I'll throw a fit, you know, like, yeah, like someone wants to touch her hair and they get knocked out. So little things like that. Exactly. Thank you.
I would love
and I
to
think
see
that, like,
actually.
Little nuances that to them, they'll be like, what? That's not necessary. But to all of the rest of us, that's going to be.
It means a lot. Yeah.
That will be like a cosmic orgasm to see a superhero have that moment at all, you know.
Right.
So there's lots of little pieces like that of things that I wish I could see. You know, any empowered character, let alone, you know, Storm, be able to have these moments. So I tangent a lot, so I don't even remember what the question was. I hope I answered it in there somewhere.
Well, one thing I wanted to move on to also for our listeners that may not know about you, you're a martial artist. So
yes,
does that mean that we'll get to see Storm doing some physical fighting?
She will kick much ass if I have anything to do with it, yes. So, again, when this story was written, it was kind of a transitional point in my life. You know, I went through a very dark period a couple years ago, and then martial arts, it was for me, literally, directly, it was salvation. Some people have church, some people have whatever else. Finding elite martial arts here in Austin, it saved my life. And there was a transition that happened for me. I went from losing all of my power and losing hope for a while to just becoming physically stronger. There was definitely a parallel for me between finding physical strength and then becoming stronger spiritually and emotionally, you know, and then also the journey of becoming physically strong, whether it's, you know, that you're doing exercise or running or whatever it is, it's also a form of meditation. Like, you can clear your mind of whatever the nonsense is and just do the work, and then you're getting stronger, and then you're able to cope with, you know, the tragedy or the stress or whatever else. And so learning how to actually fight, when I started taking martial arts, it was because I wanted to kick things. I without going all the way into it, I lost my son 2 years ago. And I you know, obviously went into a deep depression. And people kept saying, oh, you should go to therapy and you should do this and you should talk to somebody. And I was like, no, I don't need to talk to anybody. I was there. I know what happened. I need to kick things. I need to kick things, like, for a long time. And so I started to do that, and I started learning to fight, you know, and learning how. And I had never done anything like that. I'd never done anything really athletic. I never really had strength. And I've had that since I've been at Elite, since I've been doing martial arts. And so part of the inspiration, and again, the story itself is not going to be any of the direct books, but one of my favorite storyline, my favorite storylines, and definitely an inspiration for this story, is the Life-Death books, where it begins with this really, really powerful and amazing image of Storm curled up naked in bed sheets. The frame is upside down and she's miserable and pitying herself. And at the top of the page, it just says, once upon a time, there was a woman who could fly. And without even reading the rest of those books, that page of that book was just my favorite piece of art for a long time during that transitional time in my life. Like, knowing that, you know, that the mutant superhero who can control the sky and bring lightning, you know, that she pitied herself, that she lost her powers, and she pitied, she got down that low. Not that she was just like, it's okay, I'm still a badass, I'm going to kick ass anyway. She didn't do that. She went down into it. She was depressed, and she suffered, and she didn't trust, and she ran away and hid from her problems, and she went through that. And that's awesome. Like, to me, I need to know that. Because I was there. I mean, you know that it ends up better for her. But but even that frame and that image, that she's laying there and she's feeling bad for herself, but she still has that damn mohawk. And so the warrior is still there. Right. And to me, like, people say punk Storm or mohawk Storm. The mohawk for me, especially on a black woman, reads warrior. It reads headdress. It's like, you know, yeah. I mean, I know it's associated with a lot of things. And that's why when people say, like, oh, a mohawk is ugly on a chick, the times in my life when I have needed to power up and just change major things, and it's been three different times, I've shaved the sides of my head, and not that the act itself is going to, you know, change your life, but for me, it's been a source of empowerment. And so that, goes back to why knowing that there is somewhere in fantasy land that there's this image of a black woman in leather, with a mohawk, who's an ass kicker, but she was pissed off at herself for a little while, and you know what I mean? And so, again, I lost track of what the question was, but, squirrel! Martial arts, yes. Right. So, yes, she is, that was a very important element. So all of the things that I attained during that time in my life are a big part of why I even wrote the story in the first place, because, you know, there were some things that I went through, and there were, you know, people kind of following along and cheering me on, and people who were saying that I was an inspiration. And meanwhile, I knew that I was suffering the whole time and still am. You know, that sort of grieving doesn't end. It doesn't go away. But for me, the inspiration was going back into those comic books and looking at that image of Storm, as silly as it sounds, to go and look at a cartoon character, basically, and feel like, okay, this is kind of me. And so You know what I mean? I mean, that sounds so corny. It sounds so square.
But it's true. I mean, there's things about Storm, too, that, you know, not only is she this all-knowing leader who's powerful, who has these supernatural abilities, but there's some weaknesses to Storm. One of the things that I really liked about her was her claustrophobia. And I think seeing that aspect of her, even in her weakness, is something that we can identify with. You don't necessarily have to have that particular phobia to identify with, but to have some sort of vulnerability, that's what I connected with a great deal when I was reading the comic book, because a lot of comic books, you know, they don't really focus on some of the weaknesses of the superheroes, but Storm had that, and there was a lot of stories that talked about that in her childhood. So I really respected that part of Storm, as well as the superhero aspect of who she was.
And one of the things that I bring out just quickly, I'll try to be quickly. I have a hard time with quickly. one of the things that I focus on as far as weakness, because what I want to see was, you know, again, her name is Storm, but, you know, one of the good things about her character is that she keeps cool. And she keeps cool because she has to. She's kind and she's wise and she's a leader and, you know, and she's not a badass. Like, she walks around with a cigarette just punching people in the face for no reason. She's not Wolverine. But to me, Storm means you have darkness. If your name is Storm and you've gone through what she's gone through and your parents died in front of you and you've got claustrophobia, which means that you have the ability to freak out for kind of no reason, I feel like she might have rage issues. Her name is Storm, you know, like, think about what a storm is. Storms are amazing and beautiful, but they are destructive and dangerous. And I kind of wanted to, again, with saying something about the film without saying too much about it, I really wanted to see her in a situation where we get to see her just pissed enough to go all out up in here, you know, because she's always just kind of like in the background, like, okay, well, I'll make some wind while you guys fight. What? She can break the sky in half. Are you kidding me? She ends the fight. When Storm decides that the fight is over, it's over, you know? And so I wanted to see like some specific uses of that. I want to see her, again, I'm trying not to say too much about the thing, but like, what would it take to piss her off enough that she goes off? And so that happens. And so that's something I'm excited about. The fighting I'm excited about. There's a lot more effects than what originally when I wrote it, I was trying to be modest with effects that would be used because I knew that would be expensive. But there are going to be a lot, and that's something that's going to make it take a lot longer. And so now that I know we have access to certain things, there's going to be some things that happen that I'm so excited about. I am such a fan of this film.
That's awesome. I mean, and special effects are good. I love the fact that you're mentioning special effects. It sounds like the production value is definitely going to be top tier with this film. So I'm excited as well. Another question I have for you is, what's the hardest part about portraying a character that means so much to so many fans?
Well, I mean, everything and nothing. It goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, you know, that I know for a fact, this just in this world of, you know, you could put a YouTube video of a kitten and a puppy and there will be haters, you know. So, and I feel like portraying a comic book character is probably very similar to, you know, like when Hollywood tries to do a story out of the Bible. Like people, like when the Noah movie came out, people just got mad, you know, like before.
Right.
They even saw it, and it's a similar thing, you know, the comic books are the Bible to a lot of people, and so people hold these characters very dear, and I understand that, and I respect that, and I appreciate it, and to those people that are going to be that sensitive, I mean, here's the thing, I get that people are very reactionary to how characters are portrayed, and I know that I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself saying like, well, nobody else has gotten it right, so I'm going to do it, you know, and everybody else is coming at it. And saying that too, like people were kind of passing the Kickstarter around, like finally Storm gets her due and finally somebody's going to do a better job than Halle Berry. And it's like, well, okay, yeah, but let's settle down, you know?
Right.
And I absolutely, I'm doing it with full confidence that we can pull it off and that it's going to be awesome. And I feel like, again, as a fan, I'm creating the thing that I want to see. And I think that that's going to work. I think that, again, like the elements of the character that I miss, seeing her kick ass and just seeing her, you know, go through what she's going to have to go through in this story. I think, again, it's a short. It's not trying to be an X-Men movie. It's not an origin story per se. It's just kind of its own story. It's kind of like a Wizard of Oz structure. Like, she's got to figure some things out and she has to go through some obstacles along the way and deal with some people and some things. How's that for vague?
I was just going to say, I think it's good to see a film that is created by a fan for the fans, because the right. X-Men movie, the Hollywood version, isn't really created for the fans. I mean, I think it's Hollywood. It's created to garner a lot of movie tickets and to right. get some money into the box office. And yeah, you know, obviously there's a market for comic book films and they're very successful, but do they really create these characters in mind, thinking of nuanced parts of their character and their origin stories where they put that into the film? I don't think that they really look at that. And I think it's right. good that you are creating a fan film so we can see what has been missed from the mainstream movies. And I don't know if it's true. I saw this on Twitter, but someone had said to me that Bryan Singer had never even read the X-Men books prior to making the film. So, I mean, it says a lot when you have people behind the scenes that maybe are not familiar with the story of X-Men and the characters of X-Men, and they're creating this. And it's good to see folks like you out there that's making this.
Yes. I mean, and, you know, I am excited. I feel like it's a lofty goal. It's arrogant of me to say, like, hold on, give me Storm, let me fix it. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty cocky. give me Miss Monroe, come on. I got this. But it wasn't really, you know, I think when people create any kind of art thinking, I'm going to do this to please this group of people, you're already going to fail a little bit. I wrote this story because I needed to. It was a catharsis for me, again, like going through my own story of transformation and going through my own reclaiming of power and finding my own strength and, you know, and learning how to recover and how to battle demons and all of those things. I needed to tell that story. And again, because during that time, it all kind of came together, you know, like I said, like I had shaved the sides of my head, again, separate from wanting to do the film. So I had a mohawk. I was looking back at the Life Death books. And people kept calling me Storm. Like, I do the Spartan race a lot. And when I posted pictures from a Spartan race where I was climbing a rope or doing something weird, and a couple different people were like, you know, you look like Storm, right? And I was like, well, yeah. And I didn't. Like, in the pictures, I didn't. It's just like, oh, black chick with a mohawk. And so, you know, to me, like, up until the past year or so, like, to me, that version of her was something that I didn't realize was such a big deal to so many people, you know, until I you know, posted a picture of myself one day as her when I had the idea, I want to maybe do this film one day, and it got more likes on my Facebook page than anything ever had. And I was like, well, what if I make this page and let everyone know that I'm trying to do this film? Maybe that's how it gets made. Maybe it gets crowdsourced, because, you know, a lot of people want to make something, but then you stop, you know, like, I'll make a movie. Everybody wants to make a movie, but then you go, oh, but I don't have $50,000 or the means to do so. And so you stop there. And you know, again, knowing that there was so much support and so much interest and so much of an interest, not just in the character, but in that version of the character, is why the film is happening. So,
Real quick, we got somebody that called in. This is area code 253. Sorry that you've been on hold for a while. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, this is Reggie Mosby, Arm Square Production on Twitter. Hi, how's everybody doing?
Good. Hi. How are you, Reggie?
Oh, I'm great. It's been a while since I've listened in. I'm trying to catch up on all the rest of the shows. but Miss Maya, ma'am?
Yes, Maya.
I want to say thank you so much for making this. If nobody else tells you thank you, just to let you know, I'm thanking you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time and taking, you know, all of what you need to do, taking your energy to making this film. You know, it means a lot to me, personally.
Oh, wow.
she's like everybody else who's, you know, their favorite character, she's one of mine, and, you know, they've been, you know, doing her kind of dirty as of late, but these things like, you know, well, really, in the comics, they've been, you know, bringing her back up to, you know, her former glory, you know.
Right.
Like, the most badass I've ever seen her, really, other than on, like, on the cartoons, was like on X-Men versus Street Fighter, the video game. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, because, like, you know, everybody else wants to use Ryu and all the other characters, but if you know how to use Storm, man.
See, I'm going to have to check that out. I'm not a gamer, but I keep hearing that, and so I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, yeah, do it, definitely. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I just wanted to say thank you for it.
Thank you for that. You got me choked up. I'm beclumped. I'm all beclumped. seriously, because that kind of thing and that kind of reaction is, again, like, that's what keeps me fueled, and that's why this film is happening, and that is why I and the rest of the team will make sure that it's worth all of this, that it's worth everybody's attention and support, and, you know, because a lot of people are that you touched me. Thank you for that. I'm really choked up. I get that way easily.
Aww.
I'm all right.
Thank you so much, Reggie.
I really do hope that, you know, once, you know, everybody, once you're done and anybody from Marvel sees it, they really kick themselves in the butt.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. It's a beautiful thing to get that kind of gratitude. Appreciate that.
All right. Love y'all.
All right. Take care.
That was awesome.
All right. That was awesome. I mean, and folks on Twitter are saying the same thing. They really want to thank you for making this film. It's needed. It's good to see this version of Storm represented, and we're just really excited to what Rain has to bring audiences. We're about less than 2 minutes into the end of the show. Where can fans learn more about your production, when it's going to be finished, more about you? What's your website and any other social media links where we can grab onto?
So the Facebook page is the only real website right now, but that's, you know, that works. It's pretty interactive, and that's just facebook.com, actually, obviously, / xstormfilm. If you just go to Facebook and look up Rain, a fan film about Storm, it comes up pretty easily. And I'm on Twitter a lot, at Maya Sakura. And that's about it so far. I tried to figure out Reddit and Tumblr and all that stuff when I was doing the Kickstarter, and it made my mind bleed. So those are the only places that I am right now, as the Facebook page and Twitter. And as things happen, I thought that by the time we got to the podcast that we would have been in actual production. But again, just because of things like budget and trying to figure out different alternative locations and things like that, we're any minute now, we're going to start doing actual filming. And then filming is going to happen pretty quick because we've done so much pre-production. And then there'll be a lot of posts because of all the visual effects. But, yeah, so Facebook and Twitter, that's where I am.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Maya. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have Rashida from the creator of Afrofuturist Affair. We're going to have a discussion about Afrofuturism. What is it? And more about that discussion and all of its length. So please tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Maya. This was great.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Finally.